The rest of you, grab your Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And we're going to pick up where we were last week. We talk about Jesus teaching on the narrow way. And those of you who are seeking and trying to find God, God says, look, you seek him, you will find him. God wants to be found. But we do have an enemy. We do have Satan who tries to distract. And his goal is to divert people as much as possible away from the true way. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, as he wraps up sort of this Sermon on the Mount, warns us of certain things. And I'll just refresh you from last week. He told us some things to beware of. And the first one he says, be careful of false ways. He said, look, there's a broad way that leads you to destruction. And there are many who find it, right? This world is going in the wrong direction, doing its own thing. And don't get swept up in that. You know, somehow we think if as long as we get a majority, you know, agrees with something, then it must be right. It doesn't work that way. Actually, an interesting study is, go through your Bible and look up every time the word multitude is used. The group, the crowd, and you'll find very quickly that the group, the crowd, doesn't always do the right thing. And it's so easy to be caught up. Well, everyone else is doing it. You know, and to quote my mom, she said that, well, if everyone jumped off a bridge, would you? Right? Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it right. And I got to believe in my heart that I think so many people know in their gut that some of the stuff that's going around in this world, you know it's not right. I just believe that God has left that imprint in us, a remnant of a conscience, that even the unsaved, I believe the majority of them are looking at these things saying, this is not right. And you're told to, you know, become woke. You're told to catch up with the times. Things have changed. And be careful of those who will lead astray. And my heart really aches for, especially our children, who are being taught these things and being encouraged in these things. The book of Proverbs tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from them. Train up a child in the way he should go. As adults, one of the purposes that we have is to take these children and teach them right from wrong, to instill in them and to teach them. Instead of them, you know, running amok and then encouraging them in some of the folly that's around. And be careful of false ways. The Bible says, be careful of false teachers. We started that last week. Once again, to just kind of refresh your memory, we talk about how to spot false teachers. First one, they're wolves, right? And these are ones who call themselves pastors and ministers or TV evangelists or whatever else that in here. They clothe themselves in the church. They clothe themselves that they appear to be Christian, but yet in here the Bible says that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. That in here they disguise themselves. But in here they are harmful. And look at what is taking place. And we do have an abundance of those who call themselves teachers, call themselves preachers, who are truly in it for the end of themselves, that they don't care about the people they're ministering to. We're going to pick this up a little bit later on as we go through, you know, these red letters, the words of Christ. But he tells a parable, and he says, be careful of the hireling versus the true shepherd. He says, look, you know, we liken this into, you know, I've worked with guys. And it's interesting, you know, I've worked with small construction crews. And I work with the boss, and the boss was very gentle on the equipment, right? Because it was his. He paid money for it. He covered the insurance on it. If it was harmful, right? So he took care of the equipment that he had. And the boss would leave the job site and... you're driving a little, the best toy, have you ever driven a little bobcat? these little things, you just like, they are a blast to drive. And you can't trust me with much heavy equipment. I don't know if you can trust me with one of those, but they are fun. And so the boss would get in and be very gentle and moving it all up. And he would leave the job site, and the foreman would take over. And next thing you know, he's over in the corner doing wheelies, spinning the thing around, woohoo! And he goes like, I wonder if I could roll this and kick myself back over, you know? And so he was all, you know, he'd come back and there'd be a ding in the side, a scratch, and the boss would come and say, what's going on? And he's like, I don't know what happened. Right? And you ask him, I said, well, why? He goes, it's not mine. It's not mine, right? I don't care. And that's what Jesus uses that illustration, right? A hired helper doesn't care because he's just doing it for the money. And when he talks about the hireling, he says, look, when danger comes, they take off. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, one who cares. And often liken it, parents, no one loves your kid more than you. You can have a babysitter and you can, and they may love your kids, but no one's going to love your kid like you do, right? Because you'd be willing to lay down your life for your kid. The babysitter, I don't know. But we see this take place. False teachers are in it for themselves, and they don't care who they devour. The sheep, if you will, their congregants, their ones that they're watching over are just a means to an end. We're told them to watch for their fruit. What's the results of their ministries? Right? In here, oftentimes we see, you know, these people are making themselves rich instead of ministering. Right? We see sin. I have a brother who isn't living for the Lord, and any time that an evangelist or pastor stumbles and falls into sin, he likes to shoot me off emails and messages saying, ha, 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 see? You guys are all a bunch of phonies. And it is a shame. You look at some of the results of these people and their lifestyle. Be careful of following them. And the last one talks about they're worthless. And talks about that they're not worth anything except being like sticks and be used for kindling. At the end of the day, is this person helping you get closer to Christ or just kind of feel good? Right? And the goal of a true teacher of the word is to bring you closer to Christ. My goal this morning is not for have you follow me. My goal is to say, hey, here's Christ. Let's go follow him. Talk about the idea of a garbage can or a salad bar. We look at someone's ministry, and we don't always agree on everything, right? Even within, you know, same denominations, not everyone agrees with everything, and that's okay. And we need to have wisdom to say, you know what, I agree with this, and I don't agree with this, and I can look at the good and the bad. I liken that to a salad bar, right? Everything on there is good. I just don't particularly like certain things, so I can kind of pick and choose. And there are ministries out there that I don't agree with all the time. You know, I'm a big John MacArthur. I have his commentaries. I love his teaching and all that. But there are things that I read of him, and I'm like, I don't agree with that. And that's okay, because that's not scripture. You know, this is. That's his thought, and that's his idea, and I don't have to agree with him. But overall, I recommend him. Now, the other ones, there's, you know, a garbage can. There might be something good in there, but I have to go through and paw through all this garbage to find some good. And sometimes the teachings of some people are that way. That, you know what, you're just better off not digging. You know, there might be something good in there, but it's not worth all the stink. So have wisdom and discernment. False teachers. Some really good questions to kind of ask if you're looking at someone, maybe online, and especially nowadays. I mean, you can go on YouTube and find preachers. You know, you can go to websites. I mean, we live in a day and age where there's so much information out there. And so these are things that I think biblical standards that we can be used to say, hey, you know what, is this someone I should be listening to? First one is, what do they teach about Jesus? At the core of it all, what do they teach about Jesus? Jesus later on in the book of Matthew says, and he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What do they teach about Jesus? Do they teach that he's just a good teacher? Run away, because Jesus is more than that. He is God. He's the third person in the Trinity. He's more than just a good teacher. Oh, he was just a good man. Oh, maybe he's a prophet. But anyone teaches that Jesus is anything other than God, run away. Also about the whole idea of Jesus. And in this one, let's see if I can explain it well, because I don't always do this well, so hopefully I bring this across. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this. It says, "But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ." Right? Who is Jesus? And that's the really core question. Right? Jesus is God. Jesus came into this world, died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. He ascended on high. The Bible says he's coming back again. These are facts of Scripture of who Jesus is and how we identify what people talk about. But it's simple. And it's interesting, what I find sometimes is people who are being deceptive make it very complicated. And they make themselves sound very smart. I know I had someone say, "Hey, Pastor, will you do me a favor? There's a guy on TV I'm watching. Will you watch him?" And he was on like 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I stayed up to watch this guy, and there's a passage of Scripture, I can't even remember what it is, but he was teaching on it, so I was interested in hearing his take on it. And it was a very simple passage. But he goes, "I'm going to teach this on the third level." And he went on trying to sound really deep and real spiritual. And at the end of the day, what he was teaching was actually the opposite of what the passage said. But because he was highfalutin and because he was so brilliant, and you just don't understand. Right? Let me tell you something. First off, if someone says, "Look, you need to take my interpretation because you're just not spiritual enough to understand it," run away. The Bible says there's no interpretation as individual in the Scriptures. Right? That we should all be able to read it and see the same thing. If I'm going through something and say, "Pastor, I don't understand it," I should be able to sit down and through Scripture show you why I believe what I do. And not to say, "Well, someday, maybe if you're as spiritual as me, you'll understand it." Trust me, if I can understand it, anyone can. So the simplicity that is in Christ, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom you have not heard preach, or if you have received a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you may well put up with it." And he's like, worried that the Corinthians would follow false teachers. And he used that term, that another Jesus. How do I know who Jesus is? Because the Scripture tells me. And I can examine the Scriptures and know his character and know what he likes and knows what he dislikes because I have the Word of God. And so just because someone uses the word Jesus doesn't mean they're describing the same thing. Years ago, I was a pastor of a church, and I ran into someone, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, Bob," he says his name, "goes to your, I think he goes to your church." I said, I know Bob. He goes, "Yeah," he goes, "Oh, we met bowling." I'm like, "Bowling?" And I was like, I just couldn't picture Bob bowling. "Oh, yeah, he's an avid bowler. I mean, he's fantastic." And he gets up there, and he's got the bowling shirt. He's got these really loud pink pants that he wears when he bowls. And I'm like, "Bob? I just can't, really?" So I'm like, "Oh, tell me more. I like all this juicy stuff." Oh, yeah, then Bob kind of flirts with the waitresses, and I'm like, "Bob? Bob, oh wow." And he goes, "Oh yeah, he goes, after he's bowling and he gets these strikes, he turns around and he likes to whip his long hair around." And I'm like, "Bob's bald." I'm like, "I think we're talking about different Bobs." And so he went a little deeper. "Oh yeah, no, that's not Bob this guy, it's Bob that guy." But here I was like, You know, I started to, first I was intrigued, you know, I was kind of appalled about Bob. But he's going on and on about Bob. Come to find out we were talking about different Bobs. Same thing with Scripture. When we go down and people are talking about Jesus, and that's why I wanted to do this study, because we're going through the book of Matthew, and I'm looking at Jesus' words. What's he say about himself? And what's his teaching? Folks, there are a lot of people who are preaching Jesus who aren't teaching what Jesus said. Be careful. They're talking about another Jesus. They're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. So be careful of that. Be careful what they teach about the gospel. Right? The gospel is simple. We are sinners, and because of my sin, I deserve punishment. I deserve a place called hell. But God is love, and so in that, he sent Christ. Jesus came into this world. He had no sin, and he died on the cross to pay your penalty and mine. And he did. He died on the cross. The Bible says he was buried and rose again the third day, and now he ascended on high. That's the gospel. If you will accept that and you'll say, Jesus, you know what? Come to my life and forgive me my sins. The Bible says he will. That's the simple gospel, the good news of the Bible. And once again, we have where people will teach a different gospel than that. And same passage we looked at, but notice what it says, that they teach another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you'd receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel with which you have not accepted. Be careful, because there are people who will tell you there's other ways to heaven. Or people will tell you that you have to earn it. You have to be good. You have to give. You have to do all these things. Let me tell you something. It's not by works of righteousness that I have done. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Now, I'm glad you're here. But you're not going to get to heaven and say, hey, why should I let you in? Well, because I sat down and had to go through that whole pastor's sermon. That's not going to get you in. Well, I gave money in the plate. That's not going to get you in. Right? You helped immigrants, and we have all these programs, and we're inundated with all these other things that's out there trying to buy for all your affection. And not all of them are bad ministries out there, but being involved in that is not the way to God. It's only through Jesus Christ. And we see this distortion. He told the Galatians, it's a marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ. And that's what it is. Right? God's grace is he offers us salvation through his son when we don't deserve it. You can say, look, I'm not perfect. Exactly, neither am I. But it's him who's done the work. And he says, look, these people were leaving the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And folks, we have a lot of churches who are going down this wokeness road, are teaching things that aren't biblical, who are encouraging people to accept things that the Bible says are wrong, all in the sense of this God is love and we love each other and we accept each other and all that garbage that's out there. And truly, then now you're elevated now. You're awakened. I don't know what to do with that whole word woke, right? But you're this enlightened person now. And now because of that, God's going to accept me. No, it's a simple gospel. I don't care who you are. The Bible says that you accept him into your heart and he will save you. That's it. And anything else is distortion of the gospel. Beware of it. And be careful what it talks about false teachers. It says, what is their character? Right? And none of this do as I say and not as I do type thing. You know, it's one thing, you know, with a small church, you guys know me. You know, we've seen each other in church. You see me out of church. You guys know what I'm like. You know. I'm pretty honest about myself, probably too honest. You probably know more about me than you want to. But hopefully what you see here is the same thing you see when I'm out and about. You see the results of our choices and all these things. Be careful when someone says, follow me or listen to me. Look at the results of that in their own life. Are they applying the very things that they're saying to themselves? Jude warns them. It's interesting when you talk about false teachers. So much of the scriptures warn about false teaching. Jude 11 says this, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. And if you're not familiar with these stories, these are stories out of the Old Testament. And these are three examples of people who wanted to take leadership, wanted people to follow them, but in here their hearts were wicked in their desires. First one, it says they've gone the way of Cain. You guys know the story of Cain and Abel. God says, look, I wanted a sacrifice. And Abel brought a lamb, the sacrifice that God wanted. Well, Cain's like, well, I'm a gardener, and I want to bring my veggies to God. He said, God, accept my veggies. And God said, that's not what I wanted. You bring me what I wanted, and I'll accept it. And Cain is an example of people trying to approach God on their own terms. And we see this a lot today. You know what? I'm living a lifestyle that's contrary to the Word of God. And God, you have to accept me as I am. Now, don't get me wrong. God loves you and will accept you, but he asks you to turn from your sin. Then in here, we approach God on his terms, not God on ours. And that's what Cain did. And God told Cain, look, if you will bring me the right sacrifice, if you will serve me like I want to be served, I'll accept you. And Cain, in his rebellion, said, no, I'd rather kill my brother than submit myself to the will of God. That's the way of Cain. I have run greedily in the errors of Balaam, and Balaam was a prophet. And what happened was one of the neighboring countries wanted to destroy Israel, and so they hired Balaam to curse Israel. And here is a servant of God, a prophet of God, who sold out for money. Be careful of these people who call themselves leaders who are really in it for the money. And we see this all the time. I like to joke around. My wife's uncle asked me, we got in the ministry, and he goes, is there a lot of money in it? Because he's used to seeing all the TV guys. And I said, well, not the way I do it. You know? But you see this, right? And I know over the years, you know, they become, you know, so almost a stereotype. You know, the TV preachers with the cufflinks and the big rings and the fancy cars and the $1,000 suits, and we see all this, and they're like, oh, send me money. I love that. Send me seed money, and God will bless you. And I feel like saying, why don't you send me your money and let God bless you? It doesn't work that way, right? But you see this, and the world sees this. It was funny, because after church, you guys know, I go to the back door and shake hands with people walking out. And we had someone who had visited the church. And so on the way out, and they're like, wow, those offering plates were pretty full this morning. So you made out really good. And I was like, excuse me? He goes, well, that's all yours, isn't it? I said, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, the people enjoy heat, and we support our missionaries, and we have all the. But it was funny that here we had someone who wasn't church who came and said, I just saw that was mine. I was like, oh, no, it doesn't work that way. But we see this greed does become a problem. And the last one, it says, they perished in the rebellion of Korah. And what this is a case was when Moses was leading Israel, that Korah said, who are you, Moses, to lead us? And Moses was like, I was just the one God asked. He was God's anointed. And Korah says, well, you shouldn't have that. I should be the leader. What? Right? And so we have this rebellion against the authority. And we see that day, Moses came up, and Korah came up with a large crowd, and the earth opened up and gobbled up Korah and his rebellion. But be careful. And I'm seeing this really kind of rise up a lot today, that we're ending up with a group of leaders who are teaching this rebellious spirit. And we're seeing this, especially I think COVID has brought out a lot of this rebellionness. And we got to be careful. The Bible tells us to pray for those in authority over us. We need to submit to the laws of this land unless they ask us to do contrary to the will of God. They were told to live peaceable lives. They were told to be meek. We're told the Bible says that God resists the proud. And I'm seeing churches and evangelists and people on YouTube and Facebook who have made a career now of that rebellion. And it stirs up, and it does stir up some of me. I'm a, more of a libertarian. I'm kind of like government get out of my business type of person. Don't tax me so much. I mean, I understand part of me. And I know when this pandemic all kind of started, and if you look back on Facebook, one of the first things I put on there is I feel sometimes a wrestle between my red-blooded American and my call to the gospel and the kingdom of Christ. And at the end of the day, the last title that I have needs to be Christian and not American at the end of the day. But I'm seeing this more and more, this rebellious. And I'm not standing up for our rights. In this country, we have a right to protest. We're given liberties to petition our government. I have no problem with that. But when that becomes the point of our contentions in this world, if I suffer for those things, and I'm not willing to suffer for things of Christ, then my priorities are wrong. And I do see this stirring up of some leaders who are trying to stir up this rebellious spirit within the church. Be careful of that. The last part of what we're talking about, we be careful of false ways, be careful of false teachers. The last thing is be careful of false Christians. Notice what Jesus says here in Matthew 7. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, and have done many wonders in your name.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Beware of false Christians. Now, if you're a conservative, you know the term rhino is Republican in name only. I kind of put a play on that. And this is Sino, which is Christians in name only. I should copyright this and make t-shirts, I don't know. But notice what Jesus said. There are many who will say to me, "Lord, Lord," and you'll say, "I don't know you." Just because someone says that they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. The Bible says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." The Bible says that, "Be holy, for I am holy," to pursue those things. And I'm not perfect, and God works in me. But I want to pursue him, and I love him. And because of that, it dictates how I behave. I don't want to be doing what I used to do, because I have a new love in my life. And in here, be careful, because we live in this day and age where people are like, "Hey, I can be a Christian and still have all the world stuff." Paul warns this young man, Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come." I believe we're kind of in these days. We're in perilous times, folks. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." You can say, "Well, these are unsaved people." Listen to what it says here. "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away." The list that he's laying here, these horrible things that we would all agree is that these are wrong. These are all things that people who call themselves Christians are doing. They have a form of godliness. "Oh, yes, I believe in God. but I'm not changing. I have all these things in my life and I'm happy in it. Be careful. The Bible says these false Christians are also very religious. Notice back in Matthew again. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Right? These people were busy. Right? Doing things in the name of God. And said, look, what a good Christian we are. And Jesus says, look, I don't know who you are. And this goes back to, I think, a lot of churches we're seeing today are really wrapped up in a lot of this wokeness, all this virtue signaling, patting themselves on the back, saying, oh, Lord, we're doing all these things, when they haven't even got to the fundamentals of being the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? I do certain things because I love him. Right? Because I'm a Christian, I help others. Right? Because I'm saved. Because of that, there's certain things I don't do anymore. But it doesn't work backwards. Right? I come to church. Well, I'm the pastor. You notice when I don't show up. Right? But you guys came here this morning. Right? Hopefully you came here because you love Jesus. Right? As a result of that, hopefully you didn't come here saying, ha ha, now I'm earning my way to heaven. Right? Cool. And that's what he's talking about here. When we stand before Christ, he said, you know, and we get at the gates of heaven, he says, why should I let you in? But Lord, we cast out demons. Oh, Lord, we did all these good works. We did all these good deeds. Let me in. He'll say, I don't know you. But at the end of the day, if I stand before the Lord, he says, why should I let you in? And it's all because of Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And he'll say, enter into your rest. You see the difference? There are people who are trying to do good deeds to earn their way to heaven. And it doesn't work that way. So being religious, there are people who go to church more often than I do. There are people who give more money than I do. There are people who help the poor more than I do. But that doesn't earn them a place in heaven. It's what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with him? Last one I want to look at this morning that Jesus warns about is that false Christians won't endure. The Bible warns that in the last days, many will leave the faith, and I think we're seeing that. You know, I know we're in COVID and everything else, but I think especially across the United States, we're seeing decline in churches. We're seeing people who aren't interested in spiritual things. Our country is becoming more and more secular all the time. But people who don't need God, don't want God. And what we're finding is people who maybe came to church or maybe said that they were Christians at one point have fallen away. And what about them? And it's nothing new. And actually, the Apostle John, people were asking him, wait a minute, you know, we have these people, they said they were Christians and they were going along, I mean, and now they're not here anymore. What about them? You know, how many times have we seen in churches where we have someone come for a while and then they're gone? They just lose interest. What about that person? And John, 1 John tells us this, that they went out from us. They left us. But they were none, they were, excuse me. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. That there are people who jump on sort of the Jesus train for a while to check it out and maybe to get something or maybe they find some peace that they need or maybe find some forgiveness for something they've done. Or maybe it's like, you know, if I go to church for a while, then maybe God will give me that promotion, right? People deal with that. But then what happens is after a while, this isn't really them. And they fall off. And I think we understand how that kind of works. You know, I'm tempted, you know, this time of year, you know, New Year's resolution, you know, COVID and winters, put on a few pounds. You know, I'm like, oh, I want to go to the gym. And, you know, I see these guys. Now we're going down to Florida. And it's like, man, I am pasty white. You're going to think I'm a beluga whale up on the beach or something. But it's like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, because usually up here, you know, I have another 3 months before I have to put shorts on, you know. But we go down and we look at this and I say, look, I'm going to join the gym and I'm going to be one of these muscle heads. I like the idea of that. But, you know, if I go down to the gym 2 or 3 days, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. Then the alarm goes off and go to the gym. I'm like, I'm not doing it today. Boop. Right? You know, you drink the raw eggs in the cup and the kale. And it's funny, my, yeah, never mind. All these healthy foods. Someone once said, you know, you can eat healthy and live longer. I said, I don't know. If I eat healthy, it just feels like you're living longer. I mean, it's just stretching it out, you know. And but, you know, you turn around, and within a month, you know, most people don't go to gyms anymore. You know, they sign up, and what happened? Because at the core of it, I'm not a musclehead. Right? I went for a while and tried it for a while, and I thought I'd do it. I bought the spandex shirt. You know, got the belt so I can lift the heavy weights and, you know, want to look the part. Put the leg warmers on. And I found out, oh, that the ladies do that. It's not the guys. You know, right? You do all these things. But because it's not who I am, it doesn't last. And we see this, what happens in churches. People come in and they'll say, I'm a Christian, or maybe I'm interested in spiritual things. And then after a while, when it gets hard and when the teaching doesn't line up with what they want to be told, that, you know, it's, you know, I have to choose between church or sports or whatever. What happens is all these things are drawing away, and it really shows. And the Bible says it's a true Christian that's going to endure to the end. But along the way, many are going to fall by the wayside. It's not going to stick, if you will. And that's what he talks about here. John says, look, there are people who are going to fall by the wayside. They were never genuinely Christians. They were religious, or they talked the talk. But if they were truly changed of heart, then they would have endured. Let me wrap this up this morning. Folks, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. That salvation is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And be careful, because we have a lot of loud voices saying there's other ways to God. There is none. That be careful, there are false teachers out there that will tell you what you want to hear, that will divert and distract from the true teachings of Scripture. And be careful of false Christians. Don't be discouraged. Now, it's easy because I know, you know, I'm heading off on vacation soon, and be honest, I'm probably a little burnt out. And I get discouraged. I don't know if you ever get that way. You know, right before Christmas, I ended up going to the ER because I was having chests, and everything came out fine. And the doctor looks at me and goes, well, are you under any stress? No, I'm just a pastor in a pandemic. You know? And so I know what it's like. And it's easy to be distracted. And sometimes you see, you know, where is people? I know across the board, church attendance has been down. People are leaving. The faith, people are leaving. And it gets discouraging along the way. And what it tells me is I need to listen to Jesus. Be careful of all these things. And keep my eyes on him. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one at the end of the day that I live for. And he's the one I want to know more. And so be careful of all the distractions trying to get you off. I don't know if you guys have ever done any traveling, and I'll wrap up with this. Well, I know when we were driving out to Minnesota, we'd go up and through, and you're coming down from Buffalo, coming down Cleveland, and there's a stretch of highway there, and there's all these types of exits. And, you know, we're not used to billboards here in Maine, but there's billboards everywhere. Stop here, come here, big signs, flashing signs, low prices, you know, and you have all these things going up through. And what their whole goal is to take you, have that detour, right? Pull off this exit. Oh no, you missed it, turn around, right? You have all these things, all these signs are trying to get you off of the way. And some of them are tempting. You go down through there, right around Erie, there's a charcoal corral, the best buffet in the USA. And I'm like, my wife's like, keep going. Like, there's a water park ahead. And Lauren's like, hey, I like to go swimming. It's like, right? Go ahead a little bit further. And, you know, bathroom's ahead. My wife's like, hey, hon, I do stop for that. But all these things trying to get you off. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Stay on the right way. Don't listen to all the voices that's trying to distract you off of the way of faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word and the patience of those this morning to heed your word, Lord. Lord, help us to hear your voice in the crowd of noise. Lord, help us to follow you in a world that's full of distractions and those that will willingly lead us astray. Lord, help us to find the narrow path, the way that leads to life, and that's your road, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us, Lord. We pray. We ask this in your name. Amen.